Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Chaplain Sean Denzer is preaching a series of sermons through the Catechism for the first 3 weeks of Advent, and today we begin with the Office of the Keys. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even if I must die for you, I will never fall away from you or deny you, said St. Peter on Holy Thursday in the upper room. And all the disciples said the same thing. And then Peter and James and John slept on the watch. Then Judas betrayed Jesus to men with clubs and swords. Then all of the disciples fled in fear. Then Peter denied Jesus three times. Then no one, except for John and the women, dared show their faces at Christ's execution. And then none of them believed Christ's word that he would rise from the dead, and all of them hid shamefully, terrified for their lives, locked in the very same upper room where they had said so boldly only three nights earlier, "Oh, we'll stand with you, Jesus, no matter what." And then Jesus returns. Here he stands now in the midst of them. I would say that he busted down the locked doors, but even more amazingly, he passed right through them. He stands now glorious, alive, with all of his divine powers as a man visible before them. He may have been dazzling white as at the Transfiguration. He's back from the dead after being denied, betrayed, abandoned, and murdered. After his friends, with whom he had so earnestly eaten that Last Supper and to whom he had promised his final testament, failed him. They refused to aid him. They left him for dead in his most desperate hour. They broke their word about him. They refused to believe him. Friends. Some friends. And so Jesus seeks these losers out, doesn't he? First thing out of the tomb, just as he said, he finds these sorry excuses for friends, and now they're going to pay. Now they will own this man they abandoned as God Almighty, deeply wailing, "You cowards, now you're going to get it." But that's not how it goes. And instead of wrath, Jesus says, "Peace." That moment is the power of Christianity. It's the core of our preaching and our purpose. Jesus shows his wounds, the sign that it really was him, the same man who died, now alive again. But also, because these wounds are the source of the peace that he brings and announces to them. While the disciples and we also were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might reconcile us to God. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. And so his return is not in anger. He is not angry, which is a surprise, but a joyful one. The disciples are glad when they see this Lord, his wounds for their peace. They see his resurrection for their certainty, his grace coming to them. And that little word that Jesus repeats twice, peace, this word is an absolution. Their sins are forgiven them, their failures put away. They are reconciled. They are at peace with Jesus, with God the Father himself. And Jesus in this text, in this event on Easter night, makes it clear, the most important thing, the first order of business after he rises from the dead, after salvation was completed, is the forgiveness of sins, is to tell and deliver peace to those who had wronged and made themselves enemies of God. Christ died to accomplish it, but he wants it to be spoken. He wants it to be brought to everyone. This is the very thing that Jesus came to earth to do. And so he does not stop at simply speaking peace to those 10 men frightened in the upper room. As the Father sent me, so I send you, he says. And he institutes the office of the keys, and particularly the office of the holy ministry. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. Likewise, if you retain them, they are retained. Now, what good would it do to leave sinners cowering and afraid when Christ has done all the work? He has made peace for them by his blood. Jesus will not be satisfied until they are forgiven, until they hear that they have been forgiven, until they have it brought right to them now. And this is the special power, that is the particular and unique authority of the Holy Christian Church, to forgive sins. It's the authority that the crowds marveled at in Jesus, even greater than saying to a lame man, pick up your mat and walk. The authority to forgive sins on earth, which they were amazed to see that God has entrusted to men. And not just one even, but more than one. It is the heart of the third article of the Creed and the lifeblood of the Church. As Luther says really well in the Large Catechism, he writes this, "Everything in the Christian Church is ordered to this end, that we daily obtain here nothing but the forgiveness of sin through the Word and the sacraments to comfort and to encourage our consciences as long as we live here on earth." The gospel is the message of the forgiveness of sins on account of Christ's death and his resurrection. And that's what the pastors, those particular officers sent by Christ, are to do. That's what all of us are to tell and to speak to each other also in our places in life. And that is why we all come together, we go to the divine service or listen to a sermon or gather with fellow saints. This is what we're there for. Peace. Peace from the wounds of our risen Christ. Peace from the forgiveness of sins. Consider the way St. Paul lays it out, kind of in reverse order. Quoting the Old Testament, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? How are they to believe in him if they have not heard? How are they to hear unless someone is preaching to them? And how are they to preach unless they have been sent? But faith comes from hearing. And hearing comes through the word of Christ. Now notice here where the power is, Paul says. The power is in the message and the word of God proclaiming peace and forgiveness like Jesus came and brought that very day. But notice also that the Lord doesn't leave its delivery to chance for you. Oh no, dear Christians. He institutes a ministry, and not abstractly, but with ministers. He sends men to preach, to forgive, to interrupt all of our lives, and to say in so many words, peace be to you. You are at peace with God, just as Christ said in the upper room. I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by His divine command, it is just as sure and certain as if Christ Himself were dealing with me. He is, as Jesus Himself said, He who hears you hears me. Now, there are many more things that should be said about pastors and the office of the ministry more than we can say today. We definitely ought to talk more about what it is to retain sins, but always for the purpose of forgiving those sins when somebody's brought to repentance. There's more to be said also about our Christian duty in forgiving one another and speaking the word of peace in our lives as well. But it is enough for now that we see the purpose, the force, the reason for this office of the keys, especially as our Lord Jesus uses them in this great Easter text from John 20. We see that those who are shackled up in sin, for whom heaven is closed, Jesus wants their chains loosened. He wants the locks undone. He wants the door to eternal life to be opened. That is the key of the forgiveness of sins. Christ has done it by His blood. He wishes it now to be spoken and delivered in word and sacrament, all of which boil down to that one word. I forgive you. Be at peace. And whenever we hear this, this is the voice and the verdict of Judgment Day itself, and yet announced early. And this is by God's design, so that no one would be uncertain of what they will hear at the last day, but rather they would be joyfully confident in Christ, their Savior, who has rescued them and brought them and reconciled them to be at peace with God. Now, it should be obvious, and you should expect to find that word and comfort from your pastor. That's what he's there for. If there's no one else, of course it's his duty. And we'll discuss the most obvious and simple form of hearing that forgiveness of sins tomorrow, confession and absolution. But also, since we hear this word of Christ together in the voice of His ministers, we too, all of us as Christians, are to be quick in echoing the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has won also to those in our spheres of life, especially those closest to us. I mean the ones we see every day in our own family, in our own church, in our own lives. To tell them the great and amazing surprise that God is not angry with us, as we certainly should expect, but He has quieted His own wrath against sin in Christ Jesus who lives. Therefore, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Joseph Seifert, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.